Blog Talk Radio.
He restores our soul. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will feel no evil. For thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. Thou preparest a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thou anointest our head with oil. Our cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That was the 23rd Psalm. Although I changed some of the wordings, like my, we, our, us, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your patience with us sheep. Thank you for loving us sheep, including those who are straying in the world. Thank you, Father God, for blessing the city of Detroit, Michigan, and for devouring the wolves who are trying their best to take Detroit, Michigan by trickery and manipulations, by making laws to steal the city of Detroit. Our Father in heaven, we also thank you for sound mind, education, wealth, good health, happiness, and protecting us from and all those you have chosen from the evil one. Amen, amen, amen. Hi there, Sheep. I am Sandra Harris. You're listening to the Feed My Sheep Show. Happy Sabbath Day. Now, you long-term listeners know to have your Bible. Now, the Bible that I read from is called the New King James Version. It may read a slight different from yours. And you know to have your pen, paper, or pencil. And, of course, that cold glass of water. You know water is good for you, right? Sure you do. Let's pick up reading the book of Matthew, chapter 23. And let me just have a word of prayer. Excuse me, chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22. Father God, bless me this day to read chapters 22 and 23 of the book of Matthew. Allow me to read it with clarity and power. Allow me to read it as you would read it. Thank you. Amen. Now let's get started reading the book of Matthew, chapter 22. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, now you know what a parable is. A parable is like a religious story with a moral to it. And said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calves are killed, and all are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, and one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, that is, humiliated them, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious and sent out his armies, destroyed and murdered those and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom were found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, did not you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, don't that remind you of some shepherds? There are some shepherds leading the flock or in the flock of invited guests who God has called. Many are called, but few are chosen. And they came, but they were not prepared with their wedding garments. Let's pick up at verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. Now, you know that a Pharisee is a religious leader he believes in the Messiah, but he does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So that's just like many of the Jewish people. They do not believe. As a matter of fact, many of the Jewish people do not accept a New Testament Bible. They just read the first five books of Moses, called the Torah and the Pentateuch. Let me pick up reading. So you know what a Pharisee is. Pharisee is one that does not believe that Jesus Christ is Messiah. And they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians. Now, a Herodian is like a Roman civil servant. That's like someone working for the city of Detroit. They are civil servants. That says, working for the state of Michigan, they are citizens, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone." Now, see, that statement that the Pharisee is asking or saying, I disagree with. Jesus does care about everyone. Let's pick up reading. "But you do not regard person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the money." So they brought him a denarius. A denarius is a coin. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, well, Christ had not died just yet. But perhaps they were talking about resurrection of the dead, those who are already dead. They said there is no resurrection. Come to him and ask him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were with us seven brothers. The first died, and after he had married, having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? God is not the God of the dead, but the living." And that's important. A dead person cannot pray to God as we do right now. As I'm talking, God can hear me if he so desires. But that dead person, have you ever seen a dead person talk? No, you have not. Let's continue reading. "And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And I think that's the last of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Let's read on. Pick up at verse 40. On those two commandments hang all the laws of the prophet. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool?' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. Let's pick up reading at chapter 23, Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and said to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do, for they bind heavy burdens hard to bear, they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make the proselytes and that a proselytes, that is a letter binder containing scrolls broad, and that's mean large, and enlarge their borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Well, a rabbi is a Jewish spiritual leader, a teacher. "But you do not be called rabbi, but one is your teacher, the Christ, and you all are brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven." Now, and that should apply to the Catholic Church. They have people that they call father. And let's pick up reading at chapter 10. "And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ." So perhaps we should call each other brethren or instructors or profs. Those are just suggestions. And when I say profs, that means a short for professor. But let's pick up at verse 11. "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be abased." That means to be humiliated or put to shame. "And he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you desire widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Those, therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win the proselyte. Now, a proselyte is a person who converts, who doesn't believe in one thing, but then after hearing what he considers or she considers evidence, change their mind about a position. Let's pick up reading. And when he is one, he makes himself twice as much a son of hell as you yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies, that sacrifices the gift, sanctifies the gift? Therefore, who swears by the altar swears by it, and all by that is on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it, and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God, and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes to mint, and a mint is like a coin, and anise is like a spice that you cook with, like parsley, and cumin is also a spice, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Those you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Wow. You know what a gnat is, right? And a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of a cup and dish, but they are full of extortion, that means blackmail, and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whitewashed tomb, which indeed appears beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also unworthy appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tomb of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. That sounds similar to the slave owners having slaves, for some of the slave owners' children nowadays said, our fathers did that, we did not. Let's pick up reading at verse 32. We're in chapter 23, verse 32. Fill up then the measures of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of you will kill them and crucify them, and some of you will scourge, that means whip them, in your synagogues and persecute them, that means to oppress or harass them from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on those on the earth, from the blood of the righteous of Abel to the blood of Zacharias and of Barachim, who was murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you all, these things will come up on you this generation. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets. All right, people in Jerusalem, do you hear that? You kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left for you desolate. That means alone or empty. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I use, do you know the definition of Lord? I finished reading chapters 22 and 23. Thank you, Father God, for allowing me to do that. I hope that your sheep understood it with clarity. The definition of Lord is a man of high rank in society. It's used usually in Britain, and it's a masculine title of nobility and rank. But I like to use to replace the word Lord with Yahweh, who is the name of Jesus or God. I am exploring that. Let me go with a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day of allowing us sheep to be in it and rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for protecting us from the evil ones, and give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Sheep, take God along with you everywhere you go, for if it is God's will, I will talk with you next time. Be safe.
And I know he loves. can walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful. The Jesus is love. He won't let you down.